Berkeley Law Dean stunned by students radicalized at schools like Berkeley. Commentary. What did he expect? Rowan Kemerinsky helped radicalize three generations of law school students. Now he's shocked. Shocked. They're holding far-left, anti-Semitic protests around the country. He's now the dean of the University of California, Berkeley School of Law, and one of the most influential legal theorists in the country. He's a friend and fellow Harvard Law alumnus of Attorney General Merrick Garland. Both are protégés of famed Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe. Earlier, Mr. Kemerinsky was a founder and dean of the University of California Irvine School of Law, and a law professor at University of Southern California, where he became one of my contacts regarding free speech law, on which he has long been a good source. He always returned my calls and is a charming fellow. Mr. Kemerinsky just wrote a heartfelt op-ed in the Los Angeles Times. Nothing has prepared me for the anti-Semitism I see on college campuses now. He is right to be outraged. He begins, "I am a 70-year-old Jewish man, but never in my life have I seen or felt the anti-Semitism of the last few weeks." He cites several anti-Semitic incidents he has suffered or witnessed over the years. "But none of this prepared me for the last few weeks. On Friday, someone in my school posted on Instagram a picture of me with the caption, 'Rowan Kemerinsky has taken an indefinite sabbatical from Berkeley Law to join the IDF 2 weeks ago at a town hall.' A student told me that what would make her feel safe in the law school would be to get rid of the Zionists. I was stunned when students across the country, including mine, immediately celebrated the Hamas terrorist attack in Israel on October 7th. Students for Justice in Palestine called the terror attack a historic win for the Palestinian resistance. A Columbia professor called the Hamas massacre awesome and a stunning victory. A Yale professor tweeted, 'It's been such an extraordinary day,' while calling Israel a murderous, genocidal settler state. I now live in Irvine, whose UCI law grads he influenced for a decade. Last Sunday, as I was coming home from church, at 3:30 p.m. I witnessed a large demonstration on Jamboree Road west of Barranca Parkway waving Palestinian flags. Mr. Kemerinsky, like his two fellow Harvardians, is a liberal professor who has undermined, in my belief, the rule of law in America. Despite his correct beliefs on free speech, he has pushed radicalism at almost every turn. Conservative author Christopher Rufo has been a leader in resisting wokeism and critical race theory. His latest book from July is American Cultural Revolution: How the Radical Left Conquered Everything. On June 29, Rufo posted on X, exclusive, Berkeley Law School Dean Rowan Kemerinsky explains how he has secretly enacted a policy of racial discrimination in faculty hiring which is illegal in California. You can see the video, where Mr. Kemerinsky instructs his students on how to get around laws banning affirmative action in hiring, such as California's Proposition 209 from 2016. Also on June 29, but after the classroom filming, the U.S. Supreme Court banned almost all affirmative action in a case involving Harvard. Mr. Kemerinsky instructs, "What I mean by unstated affirmative action is, what if the college or university doesn't tell anybody, doesn't make any public statements about doing so? I'll give you an example from our law school, but if ever I'm deposed, I'm going to deny I said this to you. When we do faculty hiring, we're quite conscious that diversity is important to us, and we say diversity is important, it's fine to say that. But I'm very careful when we have a faculty appointments committee meeting. Anytime somebody says, we should prefer this candidate, or this candidate, because this person would add diversity, don't say that. You can think it. You can vote it. But our discussions are not privileged. So don't ever articulate that that's what you are doing. Well, that works more easily with regard to faculty hiring. With regard to student admissions, it becomes more difficult because there's a statistical measure. The comments below the post are interesting. Mr. Rufo, this man must be sued, deposed, fired, and sent into retirement. He's a virulent, proud racist and an enemy of equality. If you've recently applied to Berkeley Law as faculty and received a rejection, which you suspect might have involved discrimination, send me an email at chrisruffo@protonmail.com. I will connect you with public interest lawyers who might want to sue. Scott Adams, he wouldn't be qualified for his own job under his plan. Mr. Ruffo, and as such, his employment should be terminated immediately. Hiring radical Chiza Budin. Chiza Budin was the district attorney in San Francisco, where he often refused to prosecute criminals, plunging that once charming city into a morass of crime. He was so bad even America's most liberal city recalled him on June 7, 2022. A year later, Mr. Budin was appointed to head Berkeley Law's new Criminal Law and Justice Center by none other than Mr. Kemerinsky. At his appointment, Mr. Budin brought up his parents, convicted Weather Underground terrorist murderers Kathy Budin and David Gilbert. He said in an interview, "My earliest memory is visiting them in prison, but I didn't see the trial or anything like that. My mother negotiated a plea deal, and my father went to trial. I think one thing we notice in their case that kind of stands out is how, in some ways, arbitrary the outcomes in the criminal justice system can be. And they did basically the same thing, identical thing. His mom got out early on a plea deal, whereas dad got an extra 55 years with a trial. His personal experience and family radicalism obviously influenced his decision-making as district attorney, and is the sort of thing Mr. Kemerinsky obviously seeks to advance." Settler colonialist states. Mr. Kemerinsky continued in his recent op-ed, "An oft-repeated mantra among some is that Israel is a settler colonialist country and should be forced to give the land back to the Palestinians. I have no idea how it would be determined who is rightly entitled to what land, but I do know that calling for the total elimination of Israel is anti-Semitic. He's a smart man, smarter than me. So he knows darn well America itself is also called a settler state. If you haven't heard of it, here's a definition from the radical, left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center. We can begin by defining settler colonialism as it relates specifically to indigenous peoples of North America. The goal of settler colonization is the removal and erasure of indigenous peoples in order to take the land for use by settlers in perpetuity. According to Laura Hurwitz and Sean Bork's Settler Colonialism Primer, this means that settler colonialism is not just a vicious thing of the past, such as the gold rush, but exists as long as settlers are living on appropriated land, and thus exists today. So, does that mean everybody in America who isn't a Native American will have to leave?" Dean Kemerinsky and guns. "I recently wrote in the Epoch Times about how Israel's strict gun control left its people unarmed before the Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th. Are California leaders willfully blind on the need for guns against terrorists? And I wrote how they abandoned that policy on October 8th and armed their people. Well, for America, Mr. Kemerinsky is a big gun controller." In another LA Times op-ed, on June 23, 2022, he decried the recent Bruin decision of the U.S. Supreme Court affirming a strong personal Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, and to carry such arms in public. He wrote of the decision involving a New York law. "California has a similar law that requires a permit for possessing a concealed weapon. Getting such a license requires, among other things, showing that having a concealed weapon is necessary because the person or a family member is in danger. These laws recognize that concealed weapons in public pose a grave danger, including to law enforcement officers. You know what's also a grave danger? Hamas terrorists gunning for your family. They're not following any gun control laws." On October 31, FBI Director Christopher Wray warned before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, "We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago. The ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole other level. On anti-Semitic attacks here," he said, "I will say that this is a threat that is reaching in some way sort of historic levels. It also has to be said Mr. Ray, as well as Mr. Garland, have done next to nothing to close America's open borders. We have no idea how many actual Hamas terrorists may have entered the country. But ABC News reported October 23, militants associated with the Israel-Hamas war may potentially be encountered at the southwest border. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials in San Diego recently warned in an internal intelligence notice. Individuals inspired by or reacting to the current Israel-Hamas conflict may attempt travel to or from the area of hostilities in the Middle East via circuitous transit across the southwest border, reads the notice, sent Friday in part. Change of heart. Mr. Kemerinsky promotes lawlessness in American cities, then complains about anti-Semitic lawlessness? Doesn't he see the connection? Perhaps he will. David Mamet is a well-known playwright, scriptwriter, and director. 2 decades ago he became a conservative. On October 23 he wrote an op-ed in Unheard, How the Democrats Betrayed the Jews, The Sick Thrill of Anti-Semitism Has a Price. The text, Why Do Jews Vote Democratic? Partly from tradition, conservatives have heard a liberal Jew, when asked to defend or explain various absurd or inconsistent democratic positions, shrug and joke, I'm a congenital Democrat. I understand, for I was one too. And on October 22, Konstantin Kyson wrote, when Hamas terrorists crossed over the border with Israel and murdered 1,400 innocent people, they destroyed families and entire communities. They also shattered long-held delusions in the West. A friend of mine joked that she woke up on October 7 as a liberal and went to bed that evening as a 65-year-old conservative. But it wasn't really a joke, and she wasn't the only one. What changed? Many people woke up on October 7 sympathetic to parts of woke ideology and went to bed that evening questioning how they had signed on to a worldview that had nothing to say about the mass rape and murder of innocent people by terrorists. The reaction to the attacks, from outwardly pro-Hamas protests to the mealy-mouthed statements of college presidents, celebrities, and CEOs, has exploded the comforting stories many on the center-left have told themselves about progressive identity politics. For many years, they opted for the coping mechanism of pretending that the institutional capture of universities, corporations, and media organizations by the woke mind virus was no big deal. Sure, students shutting down events they disagree with is annoying, they would say, but it's just students doing what students do. October 8 was a wake-up call for those who didn't appreciate that the ideology of the campus has spread to our cities, supercharged by social media. We woke up on October 8 to the clamor of street protests in cities across the West condemning Israel even before any major Israeli response to the attacks. We watched celebratory crowds brandish swastikas and chant "Gas the Jews" at events purporting to be about the loss of Palestinian lives. We saw Black Lives Matter chapters lionize terrorists. Some of us, like yours truly, have been warning about such dangers for not years, but decades. Perhaps it's Mr. Kemerinsky's time to wake up to the damage of his own radicalization of 3 generations of students.